Mark McKinnon's going to join us here in just a second from the circus. And this has been a circus. I'd love to get his idea. He ran the George W. Bush campaign twice. He was with John McCain. He's a guy that has been inside Republican politics for a very, very, very long time. And the kind of guy that, as an insider in Republican politics, would love the idea of the Democrats stumbling like this, as the president has really enjoyed the Democrats stumbling like this. And MCAT, thank you very much for being with us. Okay, what do you make of this?
Well, there's a lot to make of it. Here's an interesting historical parallel for you. Exactly 61 years ago yesterday, on February 3rd, Buddy Holly perished in Iowa. And a songwriter named Don McLean wrote a song called American Pie where he talked about the day the music died. Well, yesterday was now will be the anniversary of the day the caucuses died. I think it's going to be the last we see of the Iowa caucuses. This is bad short term for the Democratic Party, of course, because what an easy talking point for the Republicans, who reported quickly, and by the way, also reported historical turnout for an incumbent president, and did it successfully. So the Republican talking point is simply, if they can't conduct a caucus, how in the hell are they going to run the country? But the longer-term problem beyond this, which is kind of obscuring the other news, there was a lot of talk and hype about how large Democratic turnout was going to be. It wasn't. It wasn't at all. In fact, it was nowhere near 2008 numbers and pretty close to 2016 numbers, which suggests that there's not that much enthusiasm as everybody thought on the Democratic side of the ticket. Meanwhile, as I said, the Republicans had a very successful day for an uncontested president largely. And at the same time today, his approval numbers for the first time are being reported by Gallup as being at 49%, which is a number that presidents are easily reelected with.
Yeah, and that's the highest he's ever been in that particular poll.
Yeah.
For his.
That's right.
For it, that, the, it's basically the competency number, right? So it's let's just call half of America. Now it's 90% of Republicans, but it's half of America,
yeah.
Right? And as you pointed out,
I'll just say this: no president has ever been reelected with a number under 48. Bush was 49. I think Hoover was like, or some other president was 48. But I remember Bush had 49. So,
yeah.
But Trump had been at like 42, 43, and now suddenly he's at 49.
It's a bad night on a lot of levels here, because for Democrats, as you point out, not a lot of people showed up. Not as many people showed up as they thought were going to show up to these caucuses. There are too many candidates. Republicans ran through this 4 years ago, right? They showed up with a cavalry charge of candidates in Iowa, and it's just too many. And how Democrats did not learn that lesson, how Democrats did not realize that competency is going to be the key brand that they have to bring to this fight in November. They got to have somebody who can be seen as competent and returning to norms, right? And Pete Buttigieg, interestingly enough, who appears to be on his way to a victory in Iowa, but there's still about 40% of the vote out. But if Pete Buttigieg, in his speech last night, his victory lap speech, he was talking about that. He was talking about a return to norms. He was talking about competency. He was talking about his military service and all that, even though he was a two-term governor of a small town in Indiana, and that didn't even go that great for him. But they want to sell him on that. Is there any hope that Democrats have of getting their poop together here? Because now you see Joe Biden came in fourth in Iowa.
Yeah, well, just a quite slight correction. He's a two-term mayor, not two-term governor.
But, I'm sorry, that's right. Thank you. Two-term mayor.
I think this is actually turning, despite all the bad news, if Pete Buttigieg actually wins this, which it looks like he might be, that's a pretty big deal. And I think it's going to create a lot of excitement. That's a surprise story. I think a lot of people were concerned that, the sort of Sanders wing of the party is going to run away with this, and that Sanders would not be a good general election candidate against Trump. I think there's a lot of arguments to say that Buttigieg would be a much better general election candidate against Trump. That his speech last night was great. I thought it was just incredibly well crafted. And he's, you know, he's got new language. He's got competency. I mean, he's just an interesting, different kind of Democrat that again, you know, is not going to be, you know, immediately branded as socialist, which we knew was going to happen with especially with Sanders.
Right.
So, and it's going to create some excitement that you know, that something unexpected happened and that Buttigieg actually won this thing. So I think we're going to go from this, you know, this disaster story in Iowa to you know, suddenly a story about this, you know, small town mayor that's suddenly taken off. And that's going to be kind of an exciting story.
Mark McKinnon is joining us. He's a longtime Republican strategist, and he's now one of the figures that is very prominent on the circus that you can see Sunday nights on Showtime. They're back for their now. You're working on your third episode for this season, and these are 1 week looks, right? I mean, you send your crew out on a Monday, and then by Friday night, Saturday morning, you have your story. It runs on Sunday, so it's, you know, it's made fresh weekly for you. It's the best show in terms of these kinds of things, politics and presidential elections. You're going to find on television. It's the best 30 minutes you're going to spend in a week. But there is a moment here now. Obviously, this is going to be your story, a primary piece of the story. But now all these candidates are in New Hampshire, Mark McKinnon, and they're going to be running. And that's really the backyard for Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And Pete Buttigieg did not spend a whole lot of time or money in New Hampshire yet.
No, he didn't. But and that's where I am now. I left Iowa at 4:30 in the morning, got here at 7:30 this morning, and we've been out running around today, as have a lot of the candidates. But yes, you're right. Sanders likely to do well here because he's from a neighboring state. Warren could also scratch pretty well because she's also basically in the same media market. But here's the thing: these races are not so much about who wins as, you know, who exceeds expectations or who doesn't meet expectations. So yesterday's story is really turning into Pete and Biden. Pete exceeded expectations. Biden did not meet expectations, but both big stories. So I would tell you, I would say that in New Hampshire, if Bernie wins here, people kind of go, oh, yeah, okay, he was supposed to win. If Buttigieg runs like a strong second, that could be the story. And, you know, he's going to, you know, he is consolidating. The important thing for Buttigieg now is to just wipe out Biden and Klobuchar and just be the standard bearer for the sort of centrist Democrats, which he is quickly becoming.
Yeah, and then he sucks up all those votes and that momentum. MCAT, thank you very much. Mark McKinnon, we'll see you Sunday night.
Thanks, bro.
Thanks. All right, there he goes.
Bye.
You too. Kicking it hard. That's what he always implores me to do. We will be back with the news at the bottom of the hour, and then bringing it back local here as Kim Fox had to explain why retail crime is through the roof and why it's okay. She tried to explain that to the Sun-Times today, and I don't think it went so well. We'll play the tape of that for you. But first, Kim Gordon with the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom 2.